Today, we are calling this "The Christian Walk Can Seem a Failure." The Christian walk can seem a failure. And I really want this just to encourage and be of comfort to us, because we do find, as we walk daily with the Lord, that some days or seasons that we go through can seem very strange and very peculiar. And it can almost seem as though it's gone contrary to what I've learned or what I read in the Bible and so on. And yet the remarkable thing about it all is that God's presence, His Spirit, His peace is still with us. And one of the things that He allows these experiences to happen to us is because He is getting us to learn to walk by faith. And one of the ways in which He does this is that He will allow for a season for us to go through where it probably doesn't always make sense. It looks a failure. And we have things in the Bible that clearly reveal this, that what we feel or what we go through is nothing new. All Christians in Christ have gone through these experiences, and they are all for a reason. Every day when you wake up with God, it is for a reason. And it is a learning. There is something new that we are to experience with God. And often when it's revealed or He's doing a work with us, we don't always fully understand straight away. And that can be the frustrating thing of it. We know that something's going on, or I'm going through a trial or whatever it would be. And it's human nature that we want to know. We want to be in control. We want to work it out and so on. And God will not let us do it. If He gets the glory, that is. He's working tirelessly, it seems, with us all. And I can only speak in this assembly to reduce us to the place where we have this childlike faith and belief, and simply trusting our Heavenly Father. And I want to introduce this to something we know familiar in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26 onwards, where we see how God calls, and He doesn't call how man thinks He should call, or religion thinks He should call. Not at all. God calls according to His will, His purpose, His plan, His desires, His will. And it's interesting that the apostle introduces this to the Corinth church, the church at Corinth, of which he founded this church. And of course, this church was a bustling city, a lot going on with it. But it was very worldly and had a degraded culture in it. There were things that were vile, idolatry. And right in the midst of this bustling city where everyone is busy doing their own thing, He plants a church in here. And a people, a remnant, respond. And this is why we get the idea of some of the things the apostle says to these Christians with regard to where they find themselves. They find themselves amongst a pagan society. And nothing new really about that. We, in many ways, find ourselves in a similar situation in the world that we live in, but probably fallen infinitely worse to what even was happening here at Corinth. And he says here, doesn't he, in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 1, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty and many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world, but to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." So we see with those two verses that he said there, that cuts right across the life that goes on in this city and in this world that we live in. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. And no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So he clearly says that right in this situation, this early church finds themselves in, he says that Christ has become for us wisdom from God. He's imparting that wisdom on how God sees, how he thinks, how he works, contrary to man, his ways. What for? Verse 31 tells us clearly that it is written, "He who glories, let him glory in the Lord, for the glory of God." And we then begin to understand why at times the Christian walk can seem a failure, but never in the eyes of Almighty God. It is for the glory of God. And we need to come back and think upon that with whatever situations we're going through, no matter how much of a failure it looks. God has this under control, and this is for his glory. And I don't understand. I can't work it out, but God knows. And in time, you do begin to see. When you have stood the test, you've been faithful through it, you've stayed with it, then God begins to reveal to you the bigger picture, what he's doing and was doing and so on. But we never get it straight away. And we have to learn this one, because we've just got to trust him by faith and all these promises that he gives to us. Let's also turn to Luke. Luke 18, Luke chapter 18 and verses 31 to 34. Now, our Lord here is saying something very outwardly to them, very negative. And they don't like what he has to say. And he says up in verse 31 of Luke 18, "Then he took the 12 aside, and he said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again." But they understood none of those things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. So there was a time for what our Lord said there for them in which to know and understand. But at this point, a lot of it's going over their heads. They're not fully understanding, but the point I make of this is, it doesn't look very positive, does it? It doesn't look as though Jesus' ministry is very successful. He's starting to speak about what he's going to face with the Gentiles and with the Jews. And it looks to me as though it's a failure. I'm not sure that when they heard that, They were praising God and clapping their hands and getting all excited. Not at all. You see, Jesus' ministry appeared to be an absolute failure. And his disciples saw him put to death. And this was bringing them to the end of themselves. But God is seeing the whole outcome as a triumph. And this is why we have to stay with it. As Jesus said, he that endures to the end will be saved. Why? Because the outcome will be a triumph. God cannot leave you or I or FGA, anyone who's called in Christ, he cannot leave us as a failure to be mocked and jeered and ridiculed. Not at all. It might look at the moment that that's what they're thinking and saying, but we are of the resurrection. We are in Christ, who now rules and reigns in the heavens. We triumph in him. And God will never leave us in that state. He will have the final say. He will reveal his glory in and through us. And that's why we stay with it. We keep coming. We keep listening, whatever it looks like, whatever the circumstances, because God will raise me up. He is the resurrection. At the moment, he's working death. But I know what will come after death. Resurrection, life will come. When God has done the work, his wisdom that he's working through this, you see? And this is why at times your walk can outwardly look a failure. We find the same principle works in our life and often can't be understood or explained outwardly. I can't always explain to people outwardly my walk. You try explaining it to people. It's very difficult because there are times very little seems to be happening or going on. And people will probably think, well, if that's being a Christian, it doesn't certainly appeal much to me. But you see, this is the wisdom and mind of God. And this is why we have to walk by the cross that we take up, the crucified life. Because unless the cross will do its daily work in us, we will run away from this and look for other pastures or ministers or whatever it would be, which so many Christians are doing. And the point is they never find it. They're just going from place to place because they can't handle where at times the Christian walk can look a failure. And you see, these experiences can only be understood by faith. And it's in the inner man that God calls us. This is where he works. This is where he speaks. It's within the heart. The heart knows that I'm in the will and plan of God. And I stay with it as he accomplishes and he works it through me, you see. You see, God can't work through Christian who won't stay, who won't be faithful, who won't remain. He can do anything, of course, but he can't work that plan. He can't fulfill his perfect plan through those Christians that do that. It was the same with the children of Israel. God was working his perfect plan through them, but it took them instead 40 years and they rebelled against God and they perished in the wilderness. And so the perfect will of God, his plan, was put to one side. But did God say, well, that's it, I can't get anything out of these people, far too rebellious? No, 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 no. God is still going to do it. He will get a remnant who will yield, who will obey him, who will do it his way. And that's why they're going to be restored again in the last days. Because he doesn't break covenant. What he decrees, what he purposes, what he says will happen, will come to pass. And it's the same with us if we believe that by faith. What God has decreed, what he has said over your life, my life, will be accomplished for his glory. No matter what it looks like, no matter what people are saying or what the devil is saying, it will be accomplished. See, nothing is by chance with God because he's sovereign. And that is why he works out his purposes through us, through FGA. And we don't always understand. It can look a failure. And that's why we're in oneness and fellowship with him and each other. And he takes us in that fellowship, fulfilling his perfect will through us. And that's what he's doing. He's doing that tonight as we listen to this word. He's revealing, teaching us how he does it. And you see, as we mature, and in one way it becomes simpler as we start maturing. And the reason being is because we're not fighting, we're not resisting so much. And sometimes when you look at things, you can think, well, I wonder why that took so long, or why that happened, or why God allowed all that, or whatever it would be. We raise all those questions, but in the end, we leave it with God. We don't fight any longer because God is on the throne. Okay, I don't understand, but in time I will. The problem, of course, is we all want quick answers. And that's where the devil can get in. We're an impatient generation. Everything is by the switch, flick of a switch. But it's not with God. God will speak and reveal at that right time, and often it's when we're ready to be able to receive it. We're not ready when we think. Isaiah has something to say about this that you know very well. Isaiah 55 and verses 8 to 11. Isaiah 55 and verses 8 to 11. And he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." So, two things there to think about. Stop trying to work it out, which we try and do mentally. Because he says, my ways, they're not your ways. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. So he's using an analogy here. Now, the heavens are pretty high, aren't they? We don't know. We can't put any mileage on them. Man tries to do it, light years and everything. But he says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Don't even try and attempt it. A man tries to attempt to measure the universe, and God laughs at it. And he's showing us that his ways are like that. My thoughts than your thoughts. So even his ways, his thinking, his thoughts, everything, you will never, ever fathom or find out. And yet man strives, works, manipulates to try and find out the ways and thoughts of Almighty God. And that's why he forbids those to go to fortune tellers, spiritists, because of this very thing. You will be fed lies by demons. God has given us the Holy Spirit to come and teach and lead and guide us. And in that right time, he will reveal, he will give us the wisdom, the understanding. And until then, there are times that my walk looks strange, it looks a failure. I cannot see any logic to any of this. Here we're understanding what he's saying. And he goes on, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. God accomplishes what he pleases over you and I and FGA, and you cannot tell him. And that's why at times it may look strange or even looks a failure. And it shall prosper in the thing which I send it. And he says, you'll go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And so it goes on. Why will you go out with joy in everything? Because you are seeing the greatness, the mighty hand of God working out in my life, my situation, my trials I'm going through, in his church, in the assembly, and so on. You are seeing it, or you should be. It's revealed to us and continually revealed to us. As I said, we don't get it straight away, but it will surely come. That's why you see our trials and God's leading are shaping us into his oneness, his purpose. Most of what you go through and are going through and will go through is to shape you into his likeness, his oneness. That is what our trials are about, to make us like him. And don't try and work it out. It will never make any sense. It will always look a failure. But that is the plan of God behind what you go through, to make you more like him. And that's why you come to that place to just simply trust him in his knowledge and in his wisdom and his understanding, his sovereignty. You see, when we have our own plans, it begins to destroy the simplicity of faith. And that is the problem. And that's why you battle in the faith, because you are hindering, you're destroying that simplicity of faith and believing. And how are you doing it? With your fears, your anxieties, wanting to be in control, and so on. But you need to remember, when you start doing that, I'm hindering that simple childlike faith that is essential for me to receive. That's very, very important. And that's why we have to really guard this. And as I read back in Luke 18:31, the disciples, they didn't understand all what Jesus was saying at that point. But in time, they did. They saw him crucified. They didn't understand. And when we don't understand, it means that I'm actually out of control. And that's what we don't like. And it's always a problem to those who like to control. And you have to watch if you're of that nature, because you can open the door to witchcraft. It's of the devil. And the reason being is because you want to understand, you want to be in control. To understand means that I can work, I can manipulate, I can work a plan out. It's rebelling against Almighty God. And that's when we see that happening, we let go of it, we rebuke it, and come back to that simple childlike faith that God will work this out. We want to understand so that we can complain, we can have a moan. That's why. But God says, my ways are not your ways. We're ever always in our flesh trying to make ourselves feel safer and more comfortable. And we often do it because we're not understanding. It looks a failure. It doesn't look positive. I can't see anything coming out of this. Just leave it. Let it go. Maintain that peace, that relationship with God. Don't try and work it out. Keep with that simple childlike faith, and in time you begin to see it unfold. That's why I keep saying there's always a bigger picture with everything in our lives. Every day in our walk, there is something that's bigger that will come out of this than I can see at the moment. And it always does, because it's trying to get you to understand the greatness, the bigness, the power of Almighty God. We so box him in our mind and thinking. In our little world, we think that that is God, and it's not. So infinitely bigger. And like Jesus, we go every day to Jerusalem to fulfill God's purpose and not our own. And that's what it is. That's why he said, take up your cross daily and follow me. You're going to Jerusalem. That's God's plan. And Satan tries to stop us, just like he tried to stop our Lord through Peter. And our Lord rebuked the enemy through him. And it's exactly the same with us. The enemy, the powers of darkness, don't want us being crucified with Christ. They don't want us identifying with him on our way to Jerusalem. Why? Because that is where resurrection is. That is where you triumph over the enemy and the powers of darkness. And you have to see that one, brothers and sisters, else you're going to fall under, trying to work it out, your mind all over the place. That's why he tells us to put on the mind of Christ like a cloak. And you do it also by meditating upon the word, the scriptures. You see, we're all trying to plan, but remember, the Holy Spirit, he's come to lead and guide us. And as we bring this to a close, let's look what it says in John 15 and verse 16. John 15 and verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So there we are. It's because he's chosen us, he's purchased us with a price. Therefore, We now give him authority. We give him the right in which to take over our life completely, totally. And he's showing us now how he's doing it. Why it is we go through what we go through. Why it is at times it looks such a failure, or it didn't work out like I thought. I never try and work out any of these things. I don't, because you'll be disappointed. It won't work out how you thought. But in time, when you let God work these things out, then you begin to see the bigger picture. You begin to see why God is doing what he's doing. How he's getting to the root of a thing in our lives. You see, human nature, man, always covers up. He bodges a job. He never goes to the root of the problem. But you see, with God, he always goes to the root of any situation. And that's what he's doing in your life and my life. He's going right to the roots to deal with them. And that's why it's always a bigger picture. Why at times it looks a failure. In many ways, we're under a spiritual operation. I mean, in the natural, when someone has had major surgery and they come out from the theatre into recovery bay, if you look at them with all the pipes and the tubes and everything, you sort of ask yourself, well, are they going to survive this? It looks an absolute mess. What is their life, their future going to be like? Well, if we see that in the natural, how much more spiritually with what God is doing? And at times that's what we're looking at. It looks a failure, but it isn't with God. Because healing is going to come. Restoration is going to come. Blessing is going to come. Resurrection is going to come. It all takes time. The same as when someone's had major surgery. It can take months, even years sometime to recover. How much more with God? And that's why we have no idea what God's purposes are. But with that childlike faith, that relationship that we have with him, and that we know that he loves us eternally, he will never allow us to be damaged in any way. We can rest in his love, in that security, that he's got it under complete control. And there is your rest. And that stops you striving, trying to make it happen. Let God make it happen. Let God open and part the seas. Let those mountains, those obstacles that are in front of you, let the power of the Spirit of God cast them down into the sea. It's resting in him. He is not going to let us go. How do we know? Look at Calvary and what it cost him in which to redeem us. He's not going to let us go. He's brought us thus far, and he will bring us home, and he will prove his faithfulness. And that's why at times it looks a failure. But you have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and God has made no mistake over us. Trust me. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. I hope that this has been of comfort and encouragement and probably answered some things, but we do need to hear this from time to time. We do need to be reminded, because I know our trials can be very real and the enemy can become so vocal. And the circumstances, you know, can look completely hopeless. But I've learned to just remain and stand in the midst of the storm, because right in that storm, in that hurricane, is stillness in that center. And that's where we stand with God, who has it under complete control.